Hello, I'm Karen Stone, and this is Year by Year. In 1957, the world had its eyes on the skies. Major John Glenn set a new transcontinental speed record by flying coast to coast at over 1,000 miles per hour. And the Soviets launched their first Earth satellite, Sputnik 1, stunning the Eisenhower administration. Sputnik acted as the starter's pistol in the unofficial Cold War Olympics known as the Space Race. We'll see these and other newsreel stories, including the birth of a little princess in Monaco, on Year by Year, 1957.
Outside the palace in Monaco, crowds gathered and waited. They had heard the cannons boom. They knew a baby girl had been born. But now, there it was, in black and white, signed by Prince Rainier himself. Official notice of the birth of a princess and an heir to the throne. Monaco would retain its independence, and Monegasques would pay no taxes to France. It was indeed a blessed event, and Monaco was indeed in a holiday mood, going all out to herald the arrival of Princess Caroline, firstborn of Prince Rainier and his American princess. Cold wars and international politics were forgotten in a day of celebration and thanksgiving. Flowers for the world's newest princess, whose proud father signed the official register of her birth, and then, still shaky from the ordeal of becoming a parent, took his own movies for posterity. The pictures were out of focus, but Monaco could forgive a nervous father. It was too busy drinking a toast to the newcomer up on the hill. Burning shops and houses in the Greek section of Nicosia signal a bloody flare-up of terrorism on Cyprus. This incident, revenged by the island's young Turks for the slaying of a Turkish policeman. No less than 70 fires were started before British forces cleared the streets and imposed a strict curfew. But violence between Greek and Turk seemed on the increase. British troops continued to move against the AOKA terrorist group. Following the death of at least one key leader, a small arsenal was seized. Tools of the terror that embroils Greek, Turk, and Britain in a bitter three-way fight. Arriving in Greece, nearly 1,000 Jewish refugees from Egypt, most officially expelled, some permitted to remain but unable to survive owing to seizure of their property. Most of them were technically non-citizens, but came of families that had lived in Egypt for three or four generations. Their arrival brought to 10,000 the number fleeing the Nasser regime. Most of Egypt's 40,000 remaining Jews are expected to follow, if they can. At Arcadia, California, 46,000 racing fans have their money down and their hopes up as a field of 12 four-year-olds gets away in the Santa Anita Maturity with prizes totaling $170,000. That ain't hay, so get a move on. There's plenty of that green stuff waiting for the winner. The track is muddy, and the favorites are finding the going rough. A 25-to-1 shot named Spinny, a surprise entry only yesterday, delights his few backers by leading the pack down the home stretch. With Willie Marmot up, the little-known chestnut speedster Spinny romps home by a length and three quarters to cop the top money. Ice boating on Great South Bay, one of winter's rarer thrills. When the signal flag drops and the fleet gets away, come along for one of the fastest rides in King Winter's realm. These are the finals of the Eastern Ice Yacht Association's annual championship regatta, and there's rough water, I mean ice ahead, so hold fast there, matey. The Dutch were the first ice boaters, and they introduced the sport to this continent when they settled along the Hudson hundreds of years ago. Today's boom in all sports, in all seasons, is reflected in ice boating, too, with speeds of 100 and up, attained by fans of this fresh-frozen frolic. Some of these smaller boats get along without outriggers, just keeling along on one runner and a prayer at times. An old-fashioned winter provides the ice, and an old-fashioned sport takes it from there. So blow, winds, blow. Israel is in turmoil as Prime Minister Ben-Gurion tells his parliament that he has acceded to the United Nations demand that Israelis evacuate the Gaza Strip. Almost simultaneously in Washington, President Eisenhower signs the bill promising economic aid and, if necessary, military action in the event of Red aggression in the Middle East. The Israelis begin immediate withdrawal from the captured Gaza Strip, removing supplies and military materiel. In Aqaba, the withdrawal has also begun, and Sharm el-Sheikh is evacuated. 2,500 United Nations troops immediately move into the area under the command of General E.L.M. Burns to set up a buffer zone on the disputed border. After months of parliamentary debate, the United Nations is in control of the greatest tinderbox in the Mideast. Even as Israeli equipment moves out, the United Nations forces are faced with a problem of keeping the peace. Demonstrating and rioting Arabs returning to the Strip force the UN guards to take stern measures of dispersal. Although a start has been made, peace comes slowly to the Mideast as ancient passions continue to flare. America's first jet transport takes off from Seattle, Baltimore bound, with 32 newsmen traveling as passengers. Out to better the mark, it set in 1955 when it crossed the country at an average speed of 592 miles an hour. The sleek Boeing 707 follows the sun eastward, cruising at the speed of sound to make the nonstop flight in 3 hours and 48 minutes, airing 10 minutes from its previous time. Ceremonies at the Pan American Union Building in Washington, D.C., Dr. Milton Eisenhower, acting as special representative for his brother, the President, presents a check for $1.5 million to Dr. Fred Soper as the United States contribution toward the eradication of malaria in the Americas. Another Western Hemisphere gesture of unity and goodwill. Spring, feminine conversation lightly turns to hats. That's quite apparent. And quite transparent is this king-sized off-the-face number setting the style for daytime wear. The cloche, it seems, is here to stay, you gals say, even though it takes a certain type gal to carry it off. For evening wear, this white feather number to highlight feminine charm. You like? Me too. Bamboo straw for that cocktail party or dinner date. But if you're looking for just the thing for the Easter parade, this trellis hat will either win you a nest egg or get you the bird. Quite cagey. Eh, what? A three-day blizzard blankets the South and Midwest under drifts 30 feet deep in some places. Hundreds of cars were marooned during the height of the storm, and an estimated 38 persons perished. Kansas was among the hardest hit of the five states. In the western portion, a cracked transcontinental train is completely buried, with more than 200 passengers marooned for over 48 hours. Hundreds of houses are literally buried in the towering drifts. Finally freed, the train carries a memento of its ordeal.
Still to come on Year by Year, Oscar Night with Karen
Jimmy Stewart, Peyton Place with Lana Turner, and Jailhouse Rock with Elvis Presley.
It's the biggest night of the year in Hollywood as Oscar steps into the spotlight for the 29th time. And at the Pantages Theater, just about everybody who's anybody in the film world is on hand for the annual Academy Awards presentation ceremony. Among them, Robert Stack, nominated as Best Supporting Actor for his role in Written on the Wind. A special ovation greets Janet Gaynor, who in 1929 was the first to receive the award as Best Actress. Anthony Quinn this year won his second Oscar for his role in Lust for Life. Popular youngster Tim Hovey was among the onlookers, as was starlet Vicki Dugan, who earlier made an impression with her part in The Great Man, and made quite an impression tonight. The theater is jammed with a dazzling array of personalities as the Oscars, Hollywood's highest honor, are presented. Jack Lemmon presents the award to Best Supporting Actress Dorothy Malone for her appearance in UI's Written on the Wind, which was nominated in three categories. Yul Brynner receives the accolade of Best Actor of the Year from Anna Magnani for The King and I. Ernest Borgnine bestows the award for the Best Actress of the Year, won by Ingrid Bergman, accepted on her behalf by Cary Grant. For the Best Picture, Around the World in 80 Days, producer Mike Todd receives his Oscar from Janet Gaynor. Another thrilling Academy Award evening in which Hollywood honors its own. An historic meeting takes place in Rome City Hall. Long a dream, the common European market takes its first step forward as representatives of six European nations gather to eradicate customs barriers. Chancellor Adenauer, one of the chief statesmen at the conference, leads the discussion. Paul-Henri Spaak of Belgium signs the treaty, the first in several which are expected to unify Western Europe economically within the next 15 years. With abolition of tariff barriers and the industrial integration of the nations, it may well open a new chapter which will bar ancient rivalries and the causes of war. Spain celebrates the 18th anniversary of the termination of the Spanish Revolution and victory over communism. The nation's military might, much of it of American manufacture, acquired in return for bases, is on display for the occasion. Senora Franco and her daughter are among the distinguished guests, as is the Generalissimo himself. One of the colorful contingents is made up of the Moorish Guard. As a crack unit of paratroopers passes in review, the Caudillo looks on with pride. 18 years of peace and rebuilding. You've heard of the big story. Well, here's the little story. The first convention of the midgets of America. Fittingly enough, in Reno, which bills itself as the biggest little city in the world. And there's nothing small time about the reception they give the little people or about the organization itself, which is now campaigning for half fare on trains and airlines for midgets. Other big problems for little people include half-size adult clothing and getting properly sized furniture, especially tables. But the little people of America are going for high stakes now that they're organized. They've got what it takes to climb to their goal. Appropriately, French movie stars help introduce a French helicopter to the United States as the jet-propelled Alouette poises for a sightseeing tour around the big town. A new arrival among whirlybirds, it has already established an altitude record and has been extensively used in alpine rescue work. Having proven its mettle, it will be manufactured in America by Republic. New York's famous skyline unrolls beneath its rotors, after which it circles another French import, the Statue of Liberty, symbol of freedom. Los Angeles salutes Pat McCormick in her professional bow. Pretty enough to be in pictures, Pat is pretty as a picture as she stars in a one-gal show. Her half-gainer is a thing of beauty. A full twisting one-and-a-half by the talented lass who two times won the Olympics. Pat is turning pro with a flawless performance that thrills an enthusiastic audience. We say good luck to a great all-American champion. The Masters golf tourney at Augusta, Georgia. Doug Ford of Yonkers gets away on the final round, three strokes behind the leader. Henry Cotton of England is far behind the leader, three times winner of the Masters, Slammin' Sammy Snead. Three strokes to the good, the old pro from White Sulphur Springs looks like a sure bet to the huge gallery. But sure bets aren't enough today. A new star shines in the golfing zenith. Harvey Ward of San Francisco sinks the 30-footer to hole out with a 288. Harvey finished in fourth place. Snead's 72-hole score of 286 looks good briefly until Doug Ford blazes home in dramatic style, out of the trap and into the cup. What a finish. A 6-under par 66, first time in Masters history, gives Ford the win. And last year's winner, Jack Burke, helps him on with the green jacket, symbol of victory. New Master of the Masters, Doug Ford. Queen Elizabeth and Prince Philip are the key figures in Britain's most colorful pageant. The Queen, now officially 31, stands on parade as the colors are trooped with guardsmen's snap and precision. Probably none of the royal functions is more in keeping with Britain's tradition than the slow march past. Elizabeth, honorary colonel of the guards, takes the salute of her regiment. A ceremony as out of date perhaps as the institution of royalty itself, the trooping of the colors retains for Britain today the same symbolic value as the royal family. Symbolic both of past glories of empire and the bond of heritage, pride, and spirit that makes a nation. Four famous singing sisters lead the proceedings in Portland's 49th annual Rose Festival, which is climaxed by a parade witnessed by 400,000 as it unrolls through the downtown streets. As always, the floats are lavish, with a glimpse of the future space travel. Harking back to an earlier day, Kitten on the Keys brings memories of the thousands of pianists who struggled with it. Sorry with the Fringe on Top brings the musical motif a little more up to date. Whether local or long distance, here's a real reason for the call.
On July 16th, 1957, Major John Glenn proved he had the right stuff. When Year by Year continues, one of the biggest news stories of 1957. Welcome back to Year by Year. In July of 1957, the sky was the limit for John Glenn. He set the airspeed record flying from Long Beach, California to Brooklyn, New York in 3 hours and 23 minutes.
9 a.m., Marine Airman Major John Glenn begins an attempt at a supersonic transcontinental flight. His Crusader jet camera plane leaves Los Alamitos, California, headed nonstop for New York with a sister plane. Three refuelings en route. His companion dropped out at the first. Each one slowed Glenn's jet from its better than 1,000 mile an hour top speed. Shortly after noon, Floyd Bennett Field was reached. 2,460 miles traversed, elapsed time 3 hours and 23 minutes, 8.4 seconds. Glenn's wife and children watched proudly as he taxied in, holder of a new record that shaves more than 21 minutes off the best previous time. Average speed was nearly 727 miles an hour, not as fast as the sea level speed of sound, but fast enough to please the Marines, the Navy, and his two proud youngsters. On the Inverness course at Toledo, Dick Mayer, La Jolla, California pro, tees off in the playoff of the U.S. Open Golf Championship. His opponent is two-time Open winner, Cary Middlecoff, the former dentist from Memphis. Temperature is well up in the 90s. The heat is really on, and Middlecoff wilts badly. He misses several short putts, while Mayer builds up a commanding lead. The gallery ignores the heat and keeps coming, but it was like pulling teeth for a former dentist to hole out with less than two putts. A very discouraging day for Cary, but a day of vindication for his handsome blonde opponent. 3 years ago, Mayer blew up on the last hole to lose the Open crown. He's an easy winner today, holing out 7-up on his opponent. At 34, the man in the white cap, Dick Mayer, is the new Open champ. 37,000 are in the stands for the 89th running of the Belmont Stakes, the closing event of the Triple Crown Turf Series. Stablemates Bold Nero and Gallant Man lead the parade to the post. Bold Ruler, with Eddie Arcaro aboard, is front runner and the wagering favorite at 17 to 20. Bold Nero presses with Gallant Man fourth. Teamed by Low Stables, they're also odds on betting choices, 19 to 20. Just one little oddity in a memorable race. In the back stretch, it's still Bold Ruler with Nero holding the pace.
The pack some 8 lengths back. This is the race that usually points out the champion in the 3-year-old division, and this year is no exception. At 7/16 of a mile, Willie Shoemaker starts Gallant Man on a winning drive that carries him to a runaway 8-length triumph, setting a new record for the track, the stakes, and the distance in America. Old Ruler, exhausted by the pace, crosses third. Oh, one thing more. Gallant Man's the first Irish bred to win the Belmont. Gallant, indeed. Austin, Texas, for highlights of the NCAA track meet. A new collegiate record in the broad jump, 26 feet 7 inches for Greg Bell of Indiana. A world record falls in the 880. Don Bowden of California heads for the tape, well ahead of Ron Delaney of Villanova. 147 and 2/10 seconds, a world mark for Bowden. And another world mark is set, this time in the pole vault, by Bob Gutowski of Occidental College. Next stop, 16 feet.
...1957 broke into the sporting headlines in bold-faced type and thrilled its fans from year in to year out. Europe's top ski jumpers displayed dazzling form as they vied for new laurels in this meet in Germany. The ski birds flew high, wide, and handsome. Tip-top, for sure. A new tennis queen was born. Althea Gibson of New York became the first of her race to win the title at Wimbledon, England. And she won the U.S. Nationals, too. Sportsmen everywhere applauded Althea's triumph and shared in her moment of glory when Queen Elizabeth herself presented the symbol of victory to the girl from Harlem, who became the toast of the tennis world in 1957. In Paris, the world's bantamweight champion, Alphonse Halamy of France, made short work of Chick Brogan of Scotland. Brogan took a 9 count in round 2 and tried to go on, but Halamy was out for a quick finish, and Brogan didn't last long. This time, it was all over. The year brought lovely new darlings of high diving into formful focus. The girls seemed to perform with more precision and grace than ever before. Always a delight to the eye. These were the finalists of the AAU meet at Houston. Paula Jean Myers of Los Angeles was unbeatable. Miss Myers swept all 5 AAU meets in 57. Water skiing came up with new twists on the old themes and new kings and queens of the seagoing slats. A shapely signorina from Italy showed how it's done on the Riviera. Mike Amsbury of California won the trick competition at Cypress Gardens in the World Series of Water Skiing. ...1957 also marked the golden anniversary of the Gold Cup race on Lake Washington, Seattle. Speedboating at its best. Breakdown for one of the hydroplanes during one of the spectacular 30-mile heats, and a repeat victory for Mr. Hemingway, the hottest boat and the hottest driver, Bill Munsey. The fastest thing afloat and the fastest man, Donald Campbell of England, made sports history in his jet-powered Bluebird second. Campbell pierced the water barrier and blazed new trails. Baseball added its share of drama and excitement, plus a red-hot batting race between the switcher, Mickey Mantle of the Yankees, and the slugger, Ted Williams of the Boston Red Sox. Ted won with a phenomenal batting average and home runs helped. The slugger had another great year. The World Series between the Yankees and the Braves was the story of Lou Burdett, who pitched 3 victories. His third wrapped it up for the Braves and made Milwaukee not only famous, but delirious. The man of the hour was Lou Burdett, and the Braves were the new world champions of baseball. Hail the champs! Oklahoma again ruled the college football scene, but the Sooners didn't go undefeated. In the year's outstanding gridiron upset, the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame scored the only touchdown of a hard and closely fought game to end the longest winning streak in football. The Heisman Award went to Texas A&M's All-America halfback, Johnny Crow. A pro career looms in 58 for the number one college star of 57. Football had its upsets and its heroes, and also the unexpected, like this play in Canada's Grey Cup Classic. The Winnipeg pass was intercepted by a Hamilton player. Touchdown for sure. Oops! A fan tripped him. What a rhubarb. Rain and mud made a shambles out of many a game, but this one topped them all. Talk about greased pigs and muddy pig skins. Over for a touchdown, and 1957 in sports slid to a finish. And so the year slipped away.
Still to come on Year by Year, Sputnik is out of this world, and the cost of living in 1957.
It's a pound, and the price of a quart of milk was 23 cents.
Interested in foreign affairs? From here, it looks as though everything is in good shape. At least the girls are. The 1957 Miss Universe beauty pageant at Long Beach, California, offers ample evidence. The contestants are an eye-appealing cross-section of loveliness from every part of the globe. New York's Anita Pelkey, who stayed in the contest despite her father's death, is one of the American beauties representing nearly every state in the 48. Our national pride holds up well amidst this worldwide array of charm. The coveted title of Miss United States goes to a Cinderella girl, Maryland's Leona Cage, who had only $10 to her name on the threshold of fame. Chicago lawmen seize a four-acre field of marijuana, retail value $4 million, and they face the problem of disposing of the illicit crop before it goes to seed. Sheriff Lohman's answer, call in the Marines. Marijuana is a weed and spreads like crabgrass once it goes to seed. But three Marines armed with flamethrowers live up to the Corps' boast. They have the situation well in hand. It's cotton picking time down south, way down south, in Colombia, where they anticipate a harvest this year worth $10 million. Improved cultivation methods plus a healthy assist from daredevil crop dusters have helped Colombian planters to step up production sharply. Right under the branches. These flying fumigators are flat-hat and fancy dance, sometimes skimming only inches above the fields. Low and slow. Man, that's flying. For you mothers who dream about returning from Europe with elegant new dresses and coats for the kiddies, here's good news. In its new fall collection, Yolanda plays a fairy godmother, waving a wand to bring the latest continental creations in children's wear. Mother may miss a trip, but sister won't miss a trick in these luxurious styles with all the fancy trimming so dear to a woman's heart. At any age. Over the party dresses, party coats, styled in the British manner and tailored by Birkertex of London. $3,500 is the price tag on this number with mink lining. Don't panic. A copy will cost $60. The girls didn't believe him when Ken Tobato said he could ski on shoe skis 15 inches long. Some of the cameramen were skeptical, too, but seeing is believing. Ken speeds through the trees at Cypress Gardens, zigzagging along at 40 per, and one mishap could be fatal. Ken has ways of getting back at skeptics, so you didn't believe him.
Thank you.
One good turn deserves another, and so does the splash. This one accentuates the negative. It's still anybody's title at this point in the proceedings in Atlantic City as the contestants parade before New Jersey's Governor Minor and the Misses and the other spectators at the colorful pageant of charm and talent. Here is a cross-section of American beauty, and soon it is narrowed down to five finalists from Georgia, Oklahoma, Colorado, California, and Florida. And now the big winner, Miss Colorado, crowned by last year's Miss America. She is Madeline Vandiver of Denver, a blonde, green-eyed queen posing here with the two runners-up, Miss Georgia and Miss Oklahoma. The 20-year-old debutante who wins a title worth some $60,000 in scholarships and personal appearance fees has this word of advice to teenage girls. Date as many boys as you possibly can so you can be sure of marrying the right person. That's what Marilyn intends to do, but for now, the accolades of victory are enough for Miss America. By helicopter, it takes Ray Nichols of Oakland 20 minutes to commute from office to home. By car, it's an hour. And what a home! High in the hills overlooking San Francisco Bay. A steel framework supports the house plus helicopter. Mr. Nichols is greeted by his granddaughter following his first helicopter homecoming. And now for a tour of the Sequoia House, as it is called, embodying many unique features in architecture, interior design, and landscaping. Wide expanses of glass take full advantage of the view, and every room has access to either deck or garden, and still there's complete privacy. It's modern, rugged with its supporting framework of steel, and only minutes from the office. Wars are fought by bulldozers as well as tanks, planes, and foot soldiers. And here's the Atomic Age bulldozer, complete with armored, radiation-shielded cab, being tested at the AEC Proving Ground. Of course, it can't withstand a close blast impact, but hot fallout doesn't bother dozer or driver. Within seconds after the blast, the rugged earth mover can be at work within the target area, clearing rubble or plowing aside contaminated earth, as here in these Defense Department films. Operation Cleanup for the Atomic Age. Top-seated Ashley Cooper in the near court, and Mal Anderson, who was unseated. Point for Anderson against his country's national champ. Anderson serves. Anderson wins, the first unseeded player ever to take the big crown. An outsider is now the big hero of the day. Vice President Nixon presents the trophies to two big winners, Althea Gibson and Mal Anderson.
Today, a new moon is in the sky, a 23-inch metal sphere placed in orbit by a Russian rocket. Here, an artist's conception of how the feat was accomplished. A three-stage rocket. Number one, the booster in the class of an intercontinental missile. Its weight estimated at 50 tons. The smaller second stage took over at 5,000 miles an hour and carried on to the highest point reached. 500 miles up, the artificial moon is boosted to a speed counterbalancing the pull of gravity and released. You are hearing the actual signals transmitted by the Earth-circling satellite. One of the great scientific feats of the age.
Violence erupts in Little Rock, and the first nationally televised videotaped broadcast airs on NBC.
World Series fever grips Milwaukee, and County Stadium is decked out to put the Indian sign on the New York Yankees. Trailing 2-1 in games, the Braves need this one to stay alive. Elston Howard facing Warren Spahn. Braves leading 4-1. Two out in the ninth inning. The roof falls in on Milwaukee fans. Howard's homer is a 3-1 blast that ties it up. Vera and McDougal, who had singled, precede Howard across the plate, and then join in the adulation for the Yanks' converted first baseman. The gloom thickened in Milwaukee when the Yanks went ahead in the 10th. But the Braves fought back. They have a runner in scoring position. With Johnny Logan up, Logan doubles to left, and Mantilla races home to knock the score. Bob Grimm is now pitching for New York. Eddie Matthews is standing in. The count goes up, so do the tensions. run for Matthews, and the Braves win the fourth game to tie up the series at 2 games apiece. The Braves also won the fifth game, 1-0. So now it's back to New York and baseball destiny. A glimpse into the future. Winter on sunny southern beaches, and next summer, north and south. The colors and flight of birds inspired the Robbie Len collection as previewed in New York. This one is called Grecian Lovebird. Then there's the Money Bird, a bikini of gold lame trimmed with gold coins. The price? $1,000. It's for money birds, all right. The collection also features knitted, latex, and cotton suits, easy to look at and easy to wear, with prices easy on the pocketbook. As distracting as the hats are, the dye is still cast for comfort and glamour on the beach. Seabirds and sunbirds in the swim. Even as Washington and President Eisenhower welcome King Mohammed of Morocco on a state visit, illness stalks the chief executive as he stands bareheaded in the chill autumn air at Blair House. Shortly after, a chill sends him to bed, forerunner of more serious news. The following day, America hears the alarming tidings. From White House physician Howard Snyder, the nation learns that the president has suffered a mild stroke, resulting in a speech impairment. Secretary Dulles and other government leaders, including Defense Secretary McElroy, converge on the White House, where acting press secretary Ann Wheaton issues bulletins. Vice President Nixon sums up the situation.
We expect that the president, after a period of recuperation, will be able to return to his desk in the White House, and that he will, as the doctors have indicated, fully recover. As far as the activities of government are concerned, they will go ahead on schedule without interruption until the president does return. As far as decisions are concerned, we do not anticipate that any decision which would have to be submitted to the president alone for his judgment will be required from him within the next few days. And as far as such decisions are concerned, the president can make them when required.
Plastics take the stage at an international exhibit in Amsterdam. The ingenious alchemy of coal and oil provides the material. Ingenious machinery presses and stamps and molds the material into a wide variety of products, articles for household use, as well as tools for industry. And for art, too. The horizons of plastic are lengthening and strengthening, too. Supported by thin strips of it, a tractor. In the world of tomorrow, plastics will certainly call the tune. The Air Force gives the sun a run for its money. 4 Voodoo photo reconnaissance jets thunder into the air from Ontario, California. 2 for a nonstop round-trip flight to New York. 2 to set down on the East Coast. Each Voodoo photographs an 80-mile wide strip clear across the country. Refueling from a jet tanker 6 miles up somewhere near Kansas City, they hurtle onward, top speeds exceeding 1,000 miles an hour, to reach New York in 3 hours, 5.5 minutes. West-to-east flight shattered 1 speed mark, and 2 Voodoos circle Floyd Bennett Field, then streak westward again. They've outraced the clock. Now they're running against the sun. Total time for the round-trip dash, 7 hours, 12 minutes, 18 seconds. President and Mrs. Eisenhower arrive for the annual Christmas tree lighting ceremony, where they are joined by Vice President and Mrs. Nixon. Before a crowd of thousands, the stage bears the traditional message of the season, and President Eisenhower delivers his own, as he tells the nation that world peace is up to Russia. In the distance is a 60-foot spruce, which at the president's touch is illuminated with 9,000 lights. This tree is the symbol of the world's hopes, the hopes for peace. Notre Dame meets Southern Methodist at Dallas, and SMU's soft passing wizard Don Meredith connects for 47 yards to cap a thrilling first period scoring drive. But the Irish roar back to seize the lead. Pat Doyle romps 45 yards for one of four TDs tallied by the Irish within 1 9-minute period. Late in the fourth quarter, action continues at a wild pace. The Irish are still on the attack. 14 yards here, 25 there on Don White's pass. Up to a final score of 54-21. A scoring spree for the Fighting Irish. America's first attempt to launch a satellite, a 6.5-inch sphere weighing just over 3 pounds, was checked out by scientists and declared ready. A great wave of advanced publicity focused attention at Cape Canaveral, Florida, for the launching of Test Vehicle 3 of Project Vanguard, a preliminary to the scheduled launching of a 21-pound satellite in March. What happened is already unhappy history. Another setback for the United States in the race into outer space. Here are official Defense Department films of the launching of the 72-foot missile, a loss of thrust, and fall back to Earth in split seconds. Classified. Neither the satellite program nor our missile development is affected, said Acting Defense Secretary Quarles. It's only an incident in the perfection of the Vanguard satellite system. The Lido in Paris is aflame with celebrities on the Champs-Élysées for the opening of a new and zesty show. Everybody who is anybody is there. The Duke of Windsor heads the notables, which include Michelle Morgan and the famous mustache of Salvador Dali and veteran Maurice Chevalier. The show itself scores an instant hit for the festive season, as well as the dancing which follows. Author Francois Sagan sets the pace for an occasion that is truly Parisian, truly festive, and in every sense a success. Spellman, on his annual pilgrimage to the Orient, is welcomed at Air Force bases in Alaska. As has been his custom in past years, he is en route to Japan and Korea to visit the armed forces. He is also pausing to call on Alaskan schoolchildren in Fairbanks. Here the prelate is indeed among his own. Welcome visitor and spiritual leader. America's first commercial jet transport takes another step toward service on the airways of the world. A giant Boeing Stratoliner is wheeled out for its maiden flight. Fitted with noise suppressors on the mighty jets, it begins 12 months of rigorous flight testing to qualify for a Civil Aeronautics Administration certificate. Then a fleet of 150, already in production, will go into service. Clouds and rain fail to mar the maiden flight of America's newest Queen of the Airways.
Two of 1957's most popular movies took place up in the clouds. The Spirit of St. Louis chronicled Charles Lindbergh's historic transatlantic flight with Jimmy Stewart as Lucky Lindy. Around the World in 80 Days, which won the year's Best Picture Oscar, was the story of a voyage in a hot air balloon. Hollywood may have been nostalgic about early aviation, but Washington was looking at the future. When the Soviet Union surprised the world by launching Sputnik, they also launched a new era. Space travel was no longer just science fiction. It was fact. The space age had begun. This has been Year by Year. I'm Karen Stone for the History Channel.
We rebuilt and re-edited all the stuff, and it sounds pretty good. Let's see how it does if anybody really likes this. Now, if you like it, download some more, plus my zip files, Johnny 81 and his zip files. See if you like them. Please send all donations to the Murphy Retirement Fund at 2010 Powell Avenue, Apartment 6 Charlie, Bronx, New York City, 10472. Phone number is 718-597-2967. Thank you kindly. Hi, happy Halloween, everybody, from the year 2001. And this is Johnny on the Wind Mix System, Johnny 81. And we've rebuilt and re-edited all the stuff, and it sounds pretty good. Let's see how it does, if anybody really likes this. Now, if you like it, download some more, plus my zip files, Johnny 81 and his zip files. See if you like them. And now for a treat. John plays his own composition. Hi, happy Halloween, everybody, from the year 2001. And this is Johnny on the Wind Mix System, Johnny 81. And we've rebuilt and re-edited all the stuff, and it sounds pretty good. Let's see how it does, if anybody really likes this. Now, if you like it, download some more, plus my zip files, Johnny 81 and his zip files. See if you like them.